I'm Fevzi Turkel. You might know me as the Gadget Detective, and I'll be joining Eddie covering the latest tech news, some amazing gadgets, and answering any tech questions you might have. Get your question early on 0800 731 2000.
Certainly, Fevzi is going to be on once a month. So the idea is, and at the minute, Fevzi says he's doing one thing, and we say he's doing something else. It's kind of the way it works here at BBC Radio London. We're going to try and do all of it, though. We'll try and give you some help, so answer some questions, and Fevzi will make some recommendations. He is very, very good at what he does. I have to say that because he's on the line listening. So, because he's special, we've had to clear the way and make preparation for him. So,
let's talk about tech, baby.
See, you fix your jingle and we fixed ours, Fevzi. It works much better. We've stepped up our game, Fevzi.
We have. This is 2.0, right?
I like it. As a self-employed person, which I'm guessing you are now, right? You can make a mistake, but you don't make it more than once, right? That's the rule, isn't it?
Well, you know what they say, first time, shame on you, second time, shame on me.
Yeah,
if you make the same mistake repeatedly, then you haven't learned the lesson. And I'm as guilty of that as anyone else. I can't preach to you for that.
Well, we've got 16 minutes. We've got a lot to fit in, and I need your help. So we had the coupon kid. You might not know, but he's fabulous at telling us how we can get bargains. And you know me, I like a bargain. And then we had one of our guys come in from a program on BBC One from 10 a.m. on Monday. And they basically help people with scams. And it's quite interesting to me that the amount of information that we put out there and the amount of information people have or of us. So you can't get the best deal on a store card unless you've given all your information. Information is key, I say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your information is gathered. It's sold and resold through data brokers. You've no idea. You know, all these pretty apps that are supposedly free are not at all free. You know, you're paying for them with your data. They give you a shiny bauble, and in exchange, they get to know your soul.
Fevzi, before we get into it, and it's going to be like this because this is my world. It's messy. I'm a Gemini, so you never quite know what you're going to get, you know, which is why Lauren has jumped ship. Patrick has called up to talk to you.
Okay.
Patrick?
Afternoon, Eddie.
Afternoon to you. Say hello to Fevzi.
Afternoon, Fevzi.
Hi,
pleasure,
Patrick.
To speak with you.
Oh, bless. Thank you.
Well, he's going to be on once a month for now, but it might have to become more frequent depending on you, Patrick, and other people. You got a question for Fevzi?
I do, yes. I've got just a broadband and phone contract. I've got, you know, their own router, if I'm allowed to say who it is.
Sure.
I'm wondering if I could change their router that comes with the package for my own router.
Yep, you can do that. So can I just ask who the provider is? Because it may make a difference on the advice I give you.
Oh, yeah, sure. I didn't realise I was allowed
to. Well, for goodness sake, if you listen to the show, how often do we stick to the rules? Pat, come on, don't highlight it. I'll just carry on doing it until they find out that we're doing it. Come on.
It's Sky.
Sky. Okay, so your service is ADSL. I just needed to make sure it wasn't Virgin because they use a different technology. So Sky uses ADSL. It all sits on the same BT wire. So whether you go to, you know, BT or Sky, it's all the same. So yes, the routers that they hand out. So the router is the box that brings in the internet signal into your home and then disseminates it, typically via Wi-Fi, but can be via wires as well. And the ones that they provide you with, as you may imagine, are basic. They do the job, but they're not going to be fantastic. And if you are having problems, then changing the router is one of the ways that you can do it. Can I ask you, Patrick, why is it you're considering changing the router? Are you having difficulties?
Yeah, I can't seem to access the page, you know, where you can go in and do the business on, you know, sort of personalize it to yourself.
Yeah.
We've had sort of people staying and, you know, I'm shift worker in and out and trying to change passwords and things like this. And I've got devices still on there that are not on there. One of the chaps here was saying, Well, you just go into the router page. Can't do that.
That's when you go into a browser and you type 192.168. Whatever. Yeah. And then
you get the thing. Yeah.
Right. So look, let me just put it this way. All the things that you probably need to do that you're talking about cleaning up, you could do with your existing router. The benefits of changing the router are essentially that you get better performance from it. So you can buy one that supports a more recent version of Wi-Fi. So there's now Wi-Fi 6 and even 6E. 6E is quite special because it's not only gives you a better range, but it uses frequencies that are less commonly used by those around you. So if one of your problems is that your neighbors are interfering with your Wi-Fi, not deliberately, but their signal interfering with yours, then 6E can get around that, although you may have to update your own technology. So you get a lot more control, you get a lot more power, you get a lot more range as a result of it. And you know, there are various brands that you can go for, and I will name several because, you know, there are several that are good. Asus, Netgear, TP-Link are good value for money. So you can do that. But before you spend any money, Patrick, I would just maybe persevere. You can get me via @GadgetDetective on Twitter. If you want just some advice on cleaning up your existing router, I'd suggest you do that first before you spend any money. Because if you don't know how to do that, well, you'll get a new router and then you'll have similar problems. So if you like, just send me a message through Twitter and I'll help you clean it up.
You're done for mentioning your website. You know I was going to do it for you, don't you?
Generally, you know, it's either that or I didn't want to give my home phone number out to him, what we said about Scouts.
You're going to give me your number because what your recommendation last week is so perfect for me. You know, because I used to do a thing on social media called No Joke where you need it on that router thing. Patrick, I hope we helped you there on that router thing and all of that. You big believer, because I was trying to do all sorts through the Wi-Fi, and then we had to get the Ethernet cable and then get that into the computer. Then we had some problems, and they said, turn it off and then turn it back on. And it's like, how basic is that? And it worked, Fevzi.
Well, it's amazing what restarting a system can do. But also, if people are having problems, for example, getting the Wi-Fi signal into every nook and cranny of their homes, then there's things called mesh networks now. So instead of just having one point from which the router transmits, there's a mesh. There's like all these nodes, one or more nodes that you can put around your home, and they form a sort of mesh, like a net. So as you, first of all, it makes sure that the internet reaches the furthest reaches of your home.
Doesn't reach the bottom of the garden.
But you can fix that. There's ways of fixing that as well. You can get something that will repeat the signal and point it in directionally right into your garden. So there are ways around it. But mesh networks are good. Also, there's something called Divolo. They do mesh networks combined with something called Powerline, where it sends the internet signal through your mains wiring, and it pops up in plugs wherever you want it, and then you get a Wi-Fi at various plug points. So if you've got like a very big house or very old house with thick walls, or for some reason there's a lot of metal blocking the signal, then you can send the signal around the house using the mains network.
Mrs. Nestor. That metal signal is Mrs. Nestor, something that's happened in her head. That's what I think. I think it's blocking the transmitters. In terms of your recommendations, I see, and I don't know if you have a particular order. By the way, let me just tell anybody, because apparently people are joining us all the time. It's the second of our tech series where we're checking in with Fevzi Turkamp. He's the editor of something called GadgetDetective.com. He's the host of Gadget Detective Podcast. And he's with me. He's my side man. He's working with me to discuss the latest tech news, hearing top tech recommendations, and also perhaps answering any questions that we just did with Patrick. So we're doing it all, so to speak. That one you gave last week, I am literally working out whether I can take the 600.
Rodecaster Pro.
I think it is the thing that I have been waiting for the last 3 years.
I've got some news for you. So I think the one we spoke about last time was from a company called Rode, R-O-D-E.
Yes.
It's called the Rodecaster Pro 2, not to be confused with the one which is still available but not recommended now. Interestingly enough, and they're not out yet, they've just announced something called the Rodecaster Duo, which is essentially the same thing, but two less faders and two fewer headphone outs and two fewer microphone inputs.
Which takes it down to what?
four faders, but then you get three virtual faders, because what you've got on that one, you've got two inputs, which can be microphone or line level inputs, but you've also got USB-C connectors on the back. There's two of them that are used to send data, so you can send multi-track data to and from a computer or another device. So actually you have a lot more input output than the number of sockets on the back would suggest. So if
when's that coming then? Do I have to work for that road?
Yeah, I think that's gonna I haven't even seen one.
Well,
yet.
No, sorry, give me a chance to save up, because I'm not like you. I'm not Rockefeller. I'm poor.
I think about a month or two they'll start selling them, because they've announced it now. So that was announced at an exhibition called NAMM 23.
Tell me, a mate of mine said, "You go, oh, I'm like one of those people. I've got multiple hard drives, and now Mrs. Nestor's turning into this influencer and is doing her fitness. We're looking at stuff. I just bought is it SSD? They call it, didn't they?
Yeah, solid state drive. Just means no moving parts
right.
inside.
And people have said, look, that's the way. It's cost me a fortune, but I should have met you. I should have come to you. Tell us about your first recommendation, please.
Okay, so the first gadget of the week is from a company called Crucial. It's called the X8, and it's an external portable SSD. It's teeny tiny. I mean, it's about 4 inches by 2 inches by a fraction of an inch. So think of like a sliver of a bar of soap once it's worn down a bit. It just literally will slip very easily into a shirt pocket. And these things come, and the capacities on these things are crazy now. So it currently comes in a choice of 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes, or 4 terabytes.
Can you get that much information in quality in that size? 4 terabytes is a lot.
Yeah, no, it's huge. And the things that you... I mean, to give you an idea of what you can fit in just in 1 terabyte, okay, so that's the entry-level one, about 250,000 photos if you have a 12-megapixel camera, which is quite a decent camera, about 500 hours of HD film, so in other words, 250 films in HD, 6.5 million document pages, which is the equivalent of 1,300 physical filing cabinets in your shirt pocket.
MP3s, mate. Come on, songs. I'm a musician. You might not think that from listening to the music on the show.
I haven't calculated it, but it'll be hundreds of thousands, I would say. It'd be huge. MP3s.
Why have you recommended this one? Because there are a lot, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. So there's a couple of reasons, really. One is that the reputation. So Crucial is a brand of a company called Micron, and Micron are one of the biggest and most reliable manufacturers of SSDs in the world. In addition to that, the physicality of it is small, and it's designed to be dropped and to survive it as well. Also, it's extremely flexible, this one. It's fast. It's got a very fast USB-C connector on it, but it will work with Mac, iPad Pro, PC, Chromebook, Android, Linux, and also you can use it for your PlayStation 4 or Xbox One console as well. So you can put all your games on it.
Don't say that the kids are listening, Fibs.
I'll tell you one really good trick as well. If you own a Mac, Macs are lovely. I buy them with my own money, but they like to charge you. What they do is they underspec the entry-level machine,
yep,
and force you to upgrade before you buy it, because you can't upgrade it after the fact. Yes, the amount of RAM, memory, and the amount of storage, whatever you buy it with is what it stays with internally. And they charge you more than an arm and a leg, frankly, for those storage upgrades. But what you can do with a Mac that you can't easily do with Windows is you can start it, boot it from an external drive. So you buy one of these. You store your operating system on it, Mac OS. You then store all your applications, all your data. So in other words, the whole brain.
So a mirror kind of. Is it not? Like the mirror thing.
Not really, because it doesn't have to be inside. So what I do is, when I buy a Mac, I buy the cheapest storage option I can, 256 gigabytes, which is insufficient. I then stick a 2 or even 4 terabyte drive on it for just to give you an idea. So a 1 terabyte drive for this Crucial X8 is just under £64. By the way, those prices have dropped about 25% in the last 3 months.
I can't believe the price. I'm looking at it. I paid £200 for mine.
So £65. Apple, if you want 1 terabyte internally, will charge you £400. If you want 2 terabytes, they're going to charge you £800 as opposed to £117. So you get the drift. You don't wear out the internal drive. You get still very good speeds, and you can plug it in. So let's say you've got a Mac at home and a Mac at work. Instead of taking a laptop to and from, you just pop this little drive in your shirt pocket, plug it in, and your the machine, wherever you are, wakes up as your machine with all your programs and all your files and all your settings just the way you like them. Or what I do is I have different drives that I plug in, and then it takes on. So when I want to do music production, for example, I plug in a drive that's got all my music stuff on it. If I want to do office productivity, I plug in a different one. So I can then move those drives around as I wish, and I'm not clogging up the internal drive. And I'm not giving Apple all my money.
That is fantastic. And as a guy who's struggling to get, you know, the hard drive to open up in Serato, when I put it on, when you're music production, what do you don't play, you make music as opposed to play it, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I play badly. I years of wasted piano lessons, frankly. No, I use Logic on a Mac to record and make music. But I have a combination of software synthesizers and classic old synths that I like to collect.
I
was an eBay renegade.
One day. When I say let's meet up and all that, it won't be because I want to have a drink and chat to you because I like it. It would just be to steal all your ideas. Number two for me, please.
Number two is from a synthesizer manufacturer called Moog, M-O-O-G. People often mispronounce it as Moog. It's named after a guy called Robert Moog, so I guess it's Moog. They are famous for a certain classic synthesizer sound that's been around since the last 60s and 70s, and you'll find it on you know, huge numbers of tracks. It's a very distinctive sound. But Moogs are not cheap. They start in the thousands of pounds. They're expensive. They're good value for money, but they're old-school analog synthesizers built in America and, cost a pretty penny. However, they've launched this thing called the Moog Mavis. Don't ask me why it's called a Moog Mavis. It's an analog monophonic synthesizer. So analog means it uses old style technology where you get those fat brassy squares. Shall I see if I can just play you a little bit?
Yeah, always.
So you hear that sort of squelchy sound? That's the sort of Moog filter that they're quite famous for. Or you've got, it's a bit like Yazoo, I think, that sort of invokes sort of rock distortion. That
can't
sort of
you give me Stevie Wonder from the 70s?
I can give you a wasp attack. There we go.
Ouch!
The thing that's interesting about this is it's a tiny little synthesizer. It's about the size of a book, but it actually comes in kit form, and that might scare people. But it's easier to assemble than pack flat furniture. You don't use a soldering iron or anything. It's just a bit like sort of putting the bits together and turning the nuts and bolts, and that's it. And it's so much fun because when you've made your own synthesizer, believe me, you have a certain bond with it that never breaks. You make your own also great for young people, not just for young people, but also great. But one warning about this synthesizer, because it interconnects with other synths so well, I call it a gateway drug. Because you start with this thing, and I think the list price is £350, but you can pick it up now for about £260. And for £260, you get a Moog synthesizer with that proper Moog filter sound. And there's something on it that no other Moog synth has. It has something called a wave folder, which is, imagine you've got a wave that sort of cycles up and down. And then imagine you take the extremes of the wave and you fold it in on itself, and it makes these great and unique sound. So quite incredible what they've done. I'm very pleased that Moog has done this.
I like hearing you excited, you see.
Yeah, and one thing, if you can't spring for £260, I know these days not everyone can, Moog also do software synthesizers. So if you've got an iPad or an iPhone, for example, you can buy it sometimes for pennies. You can buy a really sophisticated synthesizer from them, which is a digital remake of one of their classic synths. So you can do that as well. It's great. But this particular synth, I love it because of the filter. I love it because it's got a patch bay on the side. So you get these wires. Do you remember the old telephone operators, the way they used to plug in
yes.
cable? It's got a patch bay like that on the side. And you can route the audio signal wherever you want. So it's really flexible. You can route this module into this module into this one, and you can make the most weird and wonderful sounds. So this is not for people who just want to sound like a piano or something like that. This is a monophonic synth where you can actually craft your own sounds to your own liking.
It's great. So we've got two great ones, the SSCD card and a Moog, right? I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about Twitter, because I do have a question for you on Twitter.
Sure.
And there's also a couple of texts for you. Don't go anywhere. Gadget Detective Fevzi Turkamp, helping us out. Once a month we do this. I mean, really enjoying it, even much of it sounds like a completely different language. Fevzi Turkamp is our gadget detective. We've been talking for a few years and just thought we'll put a few features in, and this is one of them, where once a month he'll come on and give us some of his recommendations. We'll make them as varied as we can. Also, I'll talk to him about anything that's in the news, and on top of all of that, we'll answer some of your questions. 81333 was the number that I gave out. Fevzi, Jake in Hackney asks, how can you avoid having any of your details kept online? How can I be as anonymous as possible online?
Okay, Jake, that's a really good question. Well, I think you've set your expectations correctly when you say as anonymous as possible. It's really not possible not to have any sort of digital footprint unless you sort of disappear under a rock. But there are things that you can and should do. So start with what information you are sharing. Limit what you are sharing. So, for example, if you look at my Twitter account, I use Twitter to let people know, you know, when I'm going to be on the radio and so forth. I don't share any personal information. I don't share, you know, where I live, what I do, anything like that. Now, you know, that's not to say one couldn't find it, but I don't go out my way to share that information. Similarly, when I sign up for an account in online to be able to do something or other, I will use I will only fill in the bare minimum of information. You may consider not providing information which is, let's say, correctly spelled or in fact accurate. You shouldn't do that if you're doing any sort of transaction, because obviously then you have to use your real name and address and all the rest of it. But if it's just something like, you know, a minor utility and they're asking for lots more information than they should really need, then you may consider being, you know, prudent with what you share with them. Let me just put it that way.
You're so naughty.
Well, you know, it's quite interesting. Now, the other things that you can do is when you are accessing the internet, if you don't want people to know your location and to record your location, and that applies both, you know, in your home but also on your mobile device, use what's called a VPN, a virtual private network. That helps protect your data, but it also helps protect your location.
People talk about that a lot. How easy or do? I mean, I'm only talking about it in regards to trying to book a flight. And every time you phone or try to look for a particular thing that you want from the same address, VPN or whatever, the algorithm picks it up and therefore the price doesn't go down. It seems to go up.
Yeah.
This is in regards to a holiday. But how easy or difficult is it to get virtual VPNs?
It's not difficult. So some of them are free. I would avoid the free ones, to be honest with you, because the thing is, when you use a VPN, so let me just explain what it is. Think of it as a pipe where your data flows to and from you, from the internet to you and back again. So the benefit of the VPN is that, let's say you're in a coffee shop, don't access using their Wi-Fi if you can help it, because you're on the same network as everyone else. Your phone can be hacked. But if you've got a VPN, much harder for them, because all they see is the pipe but not the data that flows to and from. It can also be used to hide, obfuscate or even mislead about your true location. So people use that for a variety of reasons. Sometimes, as you say, if you go to a particular website and they're tracking the fact that your IP address, which is your unique address on the internet, at least at that time, if that IP address, you visit that website a lot, they might feel that they could maybe give you a slightly less competitive price if they think that you are a regular. So just using a different IP address can sometimes get you a different price. Appearing to be in other countries can sometimes do that.
Well, again. Yeah, certainly. Again, just on that, because I'm guessing that you've kind of ignited people's fascination and interest. How does one go about getting a VPN?
Okay, so this is you've got to do a little bit of research on this. I mean, I can name companies that I trust. I would say So the way it works with a VPN is you hide that information about yourself from your internet service provider, but in exchange you're having to trust the VPN. Okay, and the free ones, I can't help but think some of the free ones are probably set up by the security services wanting to track people who don't want to be tracked. So you're more likely to have a safety from one that you pay for. Look for ones that don't keep logs, so that they, if they're required to provide information about your access, that they don't keep the records and therefore can't provide them. I'll mention one to you just because, I've had good experiences with it myself, although there are many others. There's a company called NordVPN, which is pretty good, and I've used in the past. I'm not currently using that one, but I've used that in the past and I found it to be good and trustworthy. You also need to just do a bit of research on their reputation. Have they had breaches of their systems? Have they been hacked? And if they have been hacked, that's not necessarily the end of the world. Have they handled it? Have they been open and transparent and quick to tell people what's happened, or have they tried to hide it? For those reasons, I quite like Nord, but there are many other good ones. But my best advice is just do some research. It costs you a little bit of money. There are great deals on these, by the way. If you book it through one of the cashback websites like Top Cashback. There's another one as well. It escapes my memory at the moment. But if you do it through those, I once got 3 years worth of VPN, not only for free, but I got money back on top. If you pick your moment, you can actually get alarmingly good deals for 2 and even 3 year periods. And I think it's worth experimenting with. But it doesn't begin and end with VPNs. Second factor authentication. So you've got privacy, but you've also got security. If you don't have security, then any information that you've given can be stolen. So we've said share less information, use a VPN, tighten the privacy settings on the websites that you use. So when you go into any website, they will have the bit that we never look at, which is what information you're willing to share with them and so forth. Don't get more information. Also, where's the website where you buy stuff? Don't store your credit card information on the website. So it will say that after you put in your payment information for the first time, there'll be a little box where it says something like, do you want us to save this information so you don't have to enter it again next time?
Hell no.
The answer to that is absolutely not, because so many cases of web, this is not just when you get hacked, it's when they get hacked and they've got your information on it. And so many cases where we found they haven't properly scrambled your data. It's been stored in what's called in the clear, in the open.
I think, Fevzi, we'll have to, Jake's question has taken us down a particular road. I think if for next month you do me 3 or 4 things that absolutely, if you are concerned about the possibility of X, then I would do Y. I think that's worth us doing.
Sure,
because I know that you've said things to me before, and I thought, blooming hell, if you're using that and then I'd better start doing that. But of course, our relationship is a long time in, and we're bringing new people on board all the time. You're fabulous. I appreciate what you do, and I'll wait for the... certainly Mrs. Nestor, I imagine, has already tried to buy the crucial SSD card, and I will be waiting for the caster to come along, and hopefully we've been able to help people. Look after yourself, Fevzi. This is BBC Radio London.